ciblet aia să ne voi.
From a CD called Rešeto, that was Oksana Mucha from Lviv, and a song called Na kameni mnohe meju, on the rocks washing my feet. Vitaju vas vsih, šanovni radiosluhači, na radio передачу Naš holos. Hovorit Pavlina Makori, dziakuju, što rišale prebuti zi mnoju nastupnu godinu. Hello there, and welcome to Naš Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchuk-Makori, your host. It's great to have you with me, whether you're tuning in on AM, FM, shortwave, online, or in-flight, or to the podcast. Welcome, vitaju. We have another great program lined up for you. On Cultural Capsule, Vasil Pavlovsky will have another composer bio for you. Sylvia Molnar will be by with Ukrainian food flair and a nice summer salad. Keith Perron has some news for us, what's going on in Ukraine in the political and economic spheres. And in the second half of the show, an exclusive BBC rebroadcast of a debate held in Kyiv not long ago about whether or not Ukraine should host the Euro 2012 World Football Event. And we'll also have a proverb of the week, other items of interest, and some more great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is Teresa Sikirka from Saskatoon, who will be in BC very soon for a live performance. More on that as information comes available. But in the meantime, here she is now from her recording, Ukrainian Roots and Червона Рута, The Red Rue.
Признайся мені, звідки в тебе ті чарі? Я без тебе всі дні у полоні печалі. Може, десь у лісах ти чар зілля шукала, сонце руту знайшла і мене зчарувала. Червону руту не шукай вечорами, ти у мене єдина, тільки ти обіг. О, то я врода, то є чиста я вода, то є бистра я вода синих. Бачу я тебе в снах, у дібровах зелених, по забутих стежках, ти приходиш до мене, і не треба нести мені квітку надії, бо давно уже ти. прийшла в мої мрії. Червону люту не шукай вечорами, ти у мене єдина тільки.
Bowen Arts proudly presents the Talents of Ukraine 2011 Canadian Tour, featuring the Donbass Professional Dance Ensemble from Donetsk, Inessa Timochko, solo violinist from Lviv, Svetlana Sasu, winner of the 2011 International Kvitka Sisik Singers Competition in Kyiv, and Yevhen Vaskin, winner of the All-Ukrainian Singing Competition in Donetsk. The tour kicks off in Vancouver Tuesday, October 11th at the Vancouver Center for the Performing Arts, then travels east to Vernon, Edmonton, Airdrie, Regina, Saskatoon, Yorkton, Winnipeg, Thunder Bay, Mississauga, Ottawa, and wrapping up October 25th in Montreal. In Vancouver, taking the Talents of Ukraine at the Vancouver Center for the Performing Arts, 777 Homer Street in downtown Vancouver. Tickets from Ticketmaster online or call 1-855-985-5000. For more information, visit www.bowenarts.com. That's BOENArts.com.
PCJ Radio would like to make you a winner. PCJ Radio is giving away three Texan 920 World Band receivers to three lucky winners in June, July, and August. In September, we are having a grand giveaway of a brand new Sanjen ATS 909X worth $399 to one lucky winner. To enter, let us know how you heard this program with the date and time, and answer the following very simple question. What does radio mean to you? You can send your entries to ats909x@gmail.com. Again, that's ats909x@gmail.com. If you wish to enter by snail mail and receive a small thank you gift for entering, you can find our postal address at www.pcjmedia.com. Winners will be announced on a monthly basis on Media Network Plus. So, good luck!
Coming up next is Tutti Tam from Saskatchewan from their first CD. And since it's just about worn out, they have just sent me a message on Twitter saying they've got their next two CDs making their way to Nash Holos. So looking forward to getting those. But in the meantime, we'll just continue to wear out this one that we do have. Here they are now with Lemko.
Oh, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. The old Ukrainian literature mentions a side dinner dish consisting of lettuce, radishes, and cucumbers topped with sour cream, which shows that summer salads were known a long time ago. In Ukraine, salads are prepared simply and served as an appetizer to accent the basic dish. Although at gala events, salads may be very elaborate. On these occasions, an additional salad of meat, fish, or vegetables is usually served as an appetizer before the meal. Salad dishes or salad plates are never served as a basic dish in Ukraine. During the summer, when the salad vegetables are plentiful, salads are served daily with meals. However, during the winter, preserved, cooked, brined, and stored fresh vegetables are made into salads. Now get your pans ready for creamy beet salad. Beets are considered to be one of the powerhouse vegetables. These brightly colored vegetables and their leaves offer not only powerful flavor, but powerful healthy benefits as well. This salad is easy, quick to make, and delicious. You'll need the following ingredients. 5 medium beets cooked and diced. 2 tablespoons butter. 1/2 cup whipping cream. A pinch of salt and freshly ground pepper, 1 teaspoon of lemon juice, 2 tablespoons finely chopped dill, 2 tablespoons sour cream. Saute the cooked beets in butter. Add the whipping cream and cook over medium heat for 5 minutes or until the cream is slightly thickened. Season with salt and pepper and lemon juice. Remove from heat and mix in the dill and sour cream. Chill and serve at room temperature. This is a fabulous salad for all seasons. Treat your taste buds. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Vasily Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. With Ukraine's 20th year of independence, this August 24th, I want to focus on the celebratory period, with a bit more focus on Ukraine than on Ukrainians in Canada, who are celebrating their 120th anniversary as settlement. In the first Cultural Capsule, which I did, which aired at the end of February in 2010, I featured the composer of Ukraine's national anthem, Mykhailo Verbitsky. However, Ukrainians not only have their anthem, they also have a national hymn, which for many nationally conscious Ukrainians can be considered a second national anthem. That hymn is called Molitva za Ukrainu, or a prayer for Ukraine. Those familiar with Ukrainian musical culture will recognize the melody written by Mykola Lysenko, be it in the arrangement of Kirill Stutsenko, Oleksandr Koshets, or Viktor Matyuk. There are certainly few who are aware of who the author of the words to the hymn are. Oleksandr Konevsky was born on August 18, 1836, in the village of Perekhodiv in what is Chernihiv Oblast, into a family which had lived in the region for over 400 years. He spent much of his childhood in the city of Nizhyn, of which he wrote later in his memoirs, as being the educational center of the Chernihiv region and the northern Poltava region. Konevsky started publishing in Poltava in 1858, where he had become extremely involved in the community life there, organizing Sunday schools for children, writing primers for them, and as a member of the city council in Kiev, he worked hard at propagating the use of the Ukrainian language in a territory which was part of the Russian Empire. He developed a strong relationship with other pro-Ukrainians in Galicia, which was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. In 1865, most likely for his pro-Ukrainian stance, he was exiled to Vologda in Russia without trial. He remained abroad until 1872, after which he returned to Kiev. As a writer, he wrote under over 150 different pseudonyms working for the Ukrainian cause. He's one of the founding members of the Taras Shevchenko Literary Society in Lviv and wrote the first authoritative biography in two volumes on Taras Shevchenko. While he died on December 12, 1900 in Kiev, his works were forbidden during Soviet times, and it wasn't until the late 1980s that his works began to reappear. I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this week's Cultural Capsule featured Oleksandr Kosinski, author of The Words to a Prayer for Ukraine.
The Toronto Ukrainian Festival is North America's largest Ukrainian street festival, and this year it's celebrating its 15th anniversary, along with the 120th year of Ukrainian settlement in Canada. Festivities take place from Friday till Sunday, September 16th till 18th, with performers from coast to coast as well as international locales. There will be a sidewalk sale, concerts, film fest, kiosks, children's midway, pavilions, food, refreshment gardens, and a festival parade on Saturday morning. This year's festival marshal is Eugene Milnick, owner of the Ottawa Senators NHL hockey team. Headline performers are Mandrev from Kyiv, Ukraine, and the Verkhovena Ensemble from Edmonton, Alberta, performing The Letter. Don't miss this exciting family experience, Toronto's 15th annual Ukrainian Festival in the Bloor West Village, September 16th till 18th. For details, visit www.ukrainianfestival.com or call the festival hotline 416-410-9965.
Ukrainian News Outlook. Yushchenko testifies against Tymoshenko. Is Tymoshenko's health suffering? Protests at the courthouse banned, and more. I'm Keith Perron. Ukraine's former president, Viktor Yushchenko, gave dramatic testimony Wednesday against his one-time premier and fellow Orange Revolution leader, Yulia Tymoshenko, in her controversial abuse of power trial. Yushchenko was met with cries of shame from Tymoshenko's supporters as he entered the courtroom to give evidence in a trial that could put his former Orange ally behind bars for up to a decade. Tymoshenko sat stone-faced in the courtroom and refused to ask questions on principle, while Yushchenko quietly recalled a government crisis whose repercussions continue to unsettle Ukraine politics to this day. "We have to work on annulling this agreement," Yushchenko said, in reference to a 2009 gas deal that Tymoshenko signed with Russia in the midst of a price war that resulted in temporary cutoff in supplies to Europe. Tymoshenko's main rival, Viktor Yanukovych, who succeeded Yushchenko as president, has said that he has no right to intervene in the case and brushes aside suggestions that it was part of a broader political vendetta. Yulia Tymoshenko told the court Thursday that she was unwell and wanted to be examined by a doctor independent of the prison authorities holding her. Tymoshenko, 50, appeared tired in court, 7 weeks after her trial began and 2 weeks after she was ordered detained. However, it is unclear what health complaints she was suffering. "This is more than just a cold," her lawyer told the court. "In her prison condition, she cannot properly take part in the trial." After the judge noted she had refused an examination in prison, Tymoshenko said, "I refuse to be treated by anyone sent by the government. I demand to be seen by a doctor I trust." She displayed no obvious symptoms beyond apparent fatigue. Police have started to crack down on protests outside the courthouse where the trial against Tymoshenko was taking place. We have this report from Mark Rossman in Kiev.
Authorities in Ukraine have banned street protests in support of jailed former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko. Police arrived early this morning to break up her supporters' camp, which has been in place since she was arrested for contempt of court during her abuse of office trial. Undeterred, demonstrators remain defiant.
The court decided to cancel any mass protest. That's why we're using this camp as our temporary offices to meet people and avoid this formality.
According to Ukraine's constitution, MPs can meet their constituents wherever they want. So for now, the protest resembles a politician's surgery. Nonetheless, opposition leaders say they will challenge the court's decision to ban protests near the court or remand prison where Tymoshenko is being held, with her trial scheduled to resume on Monday.
That was Mark Rossman reporting from Kiev. In 2011 in Ukraine, maize production will total at least 17 to 18 million tons. But the lack of modern facilities for grain drying creates the risk of harvest losses, announced the General Director of the Ukrainian Agrarian Confederation on August 17th. According to him, the record maize harvests of the current year will be at the moment of truth for assessing the status of the elevator industry in Ukraine. The country will have strain due to the overloading of capacities of maize drying during the harvesting campaign. While speaking of the grain market as a whole, the expert noted that its activation requires immediate cancellation of the export duties and return of the VAT refund for grain exports. The current domestic prices barely cover production costs, and the general losses of legislative innovations in the current year can lead to losses to producers to millions of U.S. dollars. To date, commodity producers are holding down crops, selling expected for better prices. He also stressed that the current year, with a general grain production of 47 to 48 million tons in clean weight, and the export potential of nearly 25 million tons, Ukraine has a high chance to return on the world grain market. And finally, the Jordanian health minister discussed with the Ukrainian ambassador to Jordan means of forging closer cooperation between the two countries, mainly in health fields. The minister hailed relations between Jordan and Ukraine, which have further developed after the visit of His Majesty King Abdullah II to Ukraine last June and the signing of agreements between the two countries. The ambassador voiced keenness to the Ukrainian health minister to translate cooperation agreements into working programs, noting that the first Jordanian-Ukrainian will be held in Ukraine next month. The Jordanian health minister also received an open invitation to visit Ukraine and discuss with his Ukrainian counterpart ways of boosting health relations between the two countries. And that was a look at some of the headlines in Ukraine. I'm Keith Parent.
You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. Up next, should Ukraine host the UEFA Euro 2012? UEFA, of course, standing for the Union of European Football Association. Hosting UEFA Euro 2012 in Ukraine will speed up the modernization of outdated infrastructure, boost tourism, and considerably improve the country's image in the world. However, some international experience shows that the absence of a complex strategy for utilizing these infrastructural objects after the event can considerably harm this country's economy. This was the statement of Natalia Izosimova, director of the Foundation for Effective Governance, or FEG, during the public debate, "Hosting of major sports events is good for a nation's health." The event held in Kyiv was organized by the FEG in partnership with BBC World News and The Intelligence Squared. The program is hosted by Zineb Badawi. It aired recently on BBC World News Service, who have kindly provided it for exclusive rebroadcast here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Participants in the debate for the motion, "Hosting a major sports event is good for Ukraine," are Markian Lubkivsky, director of UEFA Euro 2012 in Ukraine, and Lord Peter Mandelson, member of the House of Lords. Participants against the motion of hosting a major sports event in Ukraine are Mani Shankar Iyer, former Minister of Sports in India, and Leopolo Lebohang Feko, the director of the Trade Collective from South Africa. Audience members had the opportunity to comment and to question participants and to vote on the motion at the beginning and at the end of the debate.
We actually polled you, as you know, when you were coming in, and we're going to ask you to also vote again at the end of this debate to see if your opinions have changed. So let me tell you how you voted. So for the motion, 66%. Against the motion... So you've got a huge advantage there. Against the motion, 20%, and the don't knows are 14%. But I don't know, you might have a lot to play for, you know, because judging by the response you were getting to your comments, you never know, you might find there's a huge sea change. So, panelists, you can still sway the votes in here. And I'd like to start taking some questions from the floor. Please.
I'm Evgeny Pashkovsky. And my question to Mr. Mendelssohn, yeah, what do you think, if you come to a Ukrainian and ask him or her a question, what kind of entertainment they want? They want a Euro sport event, or they want a visa-free regime to Schengen or to the UK? What do you think the choice will be?
Well, that's an interesting take on our debate. Okay, next question.
My name is Alexander Etnis. I'm a physician, and my question is to Mr. Markian Lubkivsky. Please think about, is hosting of Euro 12 in Ukraine is a support for development of our healthcare system? Thank you very much.
Okay, let's start with that one. Markian Lubkivsky, the doctor there, is saying, is the hosting of Euro 2012 perhaps a good way of spending your money? What about your healthcare system?
You know, the problem is that the health care in Ukraine and medical care in Ukraine is on the very low level. So it give us, I think, unique opportunity to upgrade our medical system. You can't imagine, every day we are in contact with the Ukrainian hospitals, with the Ukrainian people responsible for these issues, and it was very hard to us to choose the hospitals in Kyiv, Kharkiv, Donetsk and Lviv, which are on the European standard level.
Okay, Lord Mendelssohn, there was a specific question there about whether Ukrainians want sports or a visa-free regime to visit countries like the UK.
To be perfectly frank with you, I think that as far as entertainment goes, there's more entertainment out of football on TV than there is out of a visa-free regime, if you're defining it in terms of entertainment. But my straight answer to you is that I'd like the Ukrainian people to have both those things. And one of the things I want to come out of that friendship and those closer ties between Ukraine and the European Union is, yes, a visa-free ability to travel between all these places. It may not come tomorrow, but I think we would make a very good start in putting Ukraine firmly at the heart of Europe by having UEFA's games here in Euro 2012. You have to start somewhere, and I think it would be a jolly good start with that.
Right, okay, let's take some more questions. Okay, ushers, microphones, just give them to anybody, and we'll speak. Gentlemen here, take the microphone. Yep.
My question is to Mr. Lubkivsky, and are your assumptions or assertions that Euro 2012 is very beneficial in terms of investments, etc., are based on some calculations? And if so, when this cost will be recovered, the date? 1 year, 2 years, or when?
Okay. Put your hand up if you have got a question for this side. You have. Okay, you have. Go.
It was really briefly mentioned among the speakers that Ukraine is not alone hosting this sports event. And my question is, since we split the responsibility and profits between two countries, what are the implications for that?
Okay, thank you. Behind.
My question is to Manny. Should Ukraine have cancelled the event? In your opinion?
To actually withdraw from the Games? You're asking money if Ukraine should withdraw?
Should we have withdrawn with the game?
This is a decision for Ukrainians to take and not for Indians to advise you. But this I'll tell you, holding these championships in order to improve the health of your economy is like giving aspirin for a case of AIDS. The answer does not lie in holding a one-off sporting event along with Poland.
But you don't want to give him any advice about whether Ukraine could even now cancel withdrawal?
I think it would be presumptuous of me to give any advice to Ukraine on what it should do, as I would regard it as somewhat presumptuous for the Ukrainians to tell me whether we should have withdrawn from the Games. I think we should have, but then not even Indians listen to me, so why would I expect the Ukrainians to do so?
Lord Mandelson.
You know, to be honest, if that's the sort of advice you gave the Indian people, I'm surprised they didn't listen to you, because I think for Ukraine to withdraw from these games, to cancel their hosting of Euro 2012 would be an absolute disaster for this country. And I'm afraid I am unambiguous about that, and I will say it very forthrightly. What would it say about a country? So I say to you, Ukraine doesn't suffer from AIDS, as you say, and it doesn't therefore need an aspirin. What it does need is a big boost for its economy. Okay. It needs to know that Ukraine is a welcoming people, open for business, ready to bring investment and new jobs and employment to its country, and that's what these games are here.
In the case of India, if my advice had been listened to and we'd withdrawn, we'd have not been in a situation where, from an initial projected expenditure of $500 million, we went up to $18 billion simply because of the false prestige involved. Is this distortion of national values and national priorities?
Okay, Markian, that and it's related.
It's related.
Mark, I'm coming. It's related to the question about, based on economic calculations, whether you recover costs, please.
I want just to make a very short remark. To take the euro from Ukraine is not an issue. It's reality. Ukraine will host in Poland euro in 2012. This is done.
Was it a popular decision when you made the bid?
Yeah, for sure.
So it was something that the masses backed, sure of that?
Yeah, I'm sure of that. So, and one more thing to give a reply to. So the total amount of direct cost for UEFA Euro 2012 for Ukraine is only 750 millions of US dollars. And I'm speaking only about two stadia, because the rest, I mean, new airports and money, you're absolutely right. This is the obligation of state to construct new airports. But so that's why I'm not counting that. So,
De Polo said that in South Africa they built a new airport in Johannesburg that they didn't particularly need.
You know, I visited South Africa last year, so I think that Leopolo is the only unhappy person from South Africa.
Liked the airport, De Polo.
Everybody was happy there.
We may have looked happy for that moment, Marikano, but I mean, the reality is that the economy has not benefited in any way from that. And don't mistake euphoria for joy, and don't mistake it for success. Ultimately. And I think that nobody has answered the gentleman with the red tie about the visa. I think that's a very important question, because it is linked to belonging. It is linked to a different kind of belonging and welcomingness. And that's a very critical question. What is the marker of belonging that these games tend to bring to nations, to continents? What is the marker of inclusivity? And what is the marker of citizenship, of being part of a larger community? If I had the choice personally between easy mobility around the world versus kicking a ball around and watching sporting events that I could watch on DSTV, I think I would go for the easy mobility. But that's just me.
Okay, well, Lord Mandelson did answer that. Let's go to Andrei Shevchenko, a Ukrainian politician here in Kiev who's got a comment to make.
I'm from the Ukrainian parliament, and first I want to support Mr. Lubkivsky. The day when we learned that we would host the competition, I think it was one of the happiest moments in our nation's recent history. And I have no doubts that the event itself is going to be wonderful. The question is, what price this country is going to pay for that? It's a country where an average citizen makes about between $200 and $300 a month. And it's a country which is notoriously famous for its corruption. Moreover, the government has introduced special procedures for expenses for this competition, canceling all the tenders for the Euro 2012 contracts. So I think many people in this country have a very simple question. Is it a football competition or is it a competition in corruption opportunities for the Ukrainian authorities and in easy money chances for the Ukrainian oligarchs? And
all right, well, you asked the question, what's the answer?
My question is to Mr. Mendelssohn and to Mr. Ayer. How would you find this balance between those corruption risks that we have been talking about and the efficiency of all the preparations, which are hugely important too? Thanks.
Markian, I know you say that you represent UEFA here in Ukraine.
I can easily answer. You know, Andriy is a very good friend of mine, but nevertheless. So the main problem, why I'm not the lawyer of the government. I'm representing UEFA in Ukraine, but Andriy, if I'm not mistaken, you were the representative of the former government, which lost a lot of time preparing Euro. You have lost more than 2 years.
What's your answer about that's the corruption
the answer
risks?
Because I'm speaking about the tender procedure.
Okay.
So usual tender procedure is like 3 months. So it is, and in this short period of time, it is impossible to construct all runaways, all stadia, everything in this country. And you know this quite good. So this is my answer.
All right, Peter Mendelssohn. I mean, risks, aren't there?
Well, I think it's a great shame that the stadiums that were built in South Africa in many cases now are occupied by squatters. They're not used, they're not enjoyed. And I feel it's a great shame that the poor planning about the legacy of the games in South Africa has resulted in that outcome. But that's not the outcome that we've seen in many other countries and cities that have hosted events like this.
Let Dipolo pick up. Squatters in your stadiums from the World Cup, briefly.
Well, not entirely, but I mean also the cost of maintaining the stadia. It's not only South Africa. Greece is having the same problems. Beijing is having the same problems. It's the white elephant syndrome. And it goes to illustrate that if this is not part of an embedded planning process, and rather than being an event, it does lead to this.
It has to lead to these sort of white elephants. It has to be planned.
But I mean, the point is that we are talking as though this is a given, Peter, and it's not. Event after event, Olympic after Olympic, we seem to be replicating the same kind of poor, this euphoria. It's fun. It's entertainment.
The first thing I said was it's not risk-free. But if you never try anything, if you never take a challenge on, if you always say somebody else can take this opportunity, you might as well not get out of bed in the morning.
$100 billion of risk. $100 billion of risk. I would have rather passed that on.
Okay. Some more points?
I'm sure that all of Ukrainians here enjoyed your speech about the national aspect of this problem. You emphasized on that the sport should be separate from business. What about that people have been investing money in sport for too long in India, in Ukraine? Is it bad to expect a return on that?
Okay. Some more points? Yep, great. Who's got the microphone? Stand up and speak.
The first question is for the guests who are against the event. What part of the national budget did your country spend on such event for the South Africa? Because I'm a member of the budget committee, and we are spending around 60 billion Ukrainian hryvnias, which is around one-third of Ukrainian budget. The second thing, I absolutely agree with my colleague, the physician, because we have such a great event, we should have all the doctors running down to Ukraine, servicing all the tourists visiting Ukraine. Why they are living in Libya under bombs?
Oh, okay.
Why they live in Ukraine? Why staying in Libya? Why not returning back? Maybe because their salaries are
That's
so
all to
low.
Do with Euro 2012.
This is exactly all because right. somebody okay. has to serve. Somebody has to serve the tourists.
Thank you. Okay.
I have a question for Leopolda Peka. I really liked your speech. It was very emotional. At the same time, I was a little bit concerned when you talked about the results and what happens after that. My question is, do you really think that's true, or you make it up just for this debate?
Thanks for that. Purple shirt.
I'd like to raise a very important question
and ask all the guests about it. Is hosting of such kind of event, European Football Championship, the best way for sustainable development, for simultaneous development in many spheres, in medicine, in sport, in education? Or do we have actually better alternatives for such kind of development?
Thank you. To all of you, if you keep your comments, you can make comments, you don't have to ask questions. Very, very short. Okay, who's got the microphone? Yes.
Hello, Ms. Lipolo mentioned that attracting private organizations and private investors can help host such an event. Do you think for Ukraine it could be a good idea to attract private investors and private organizations to help prepare educationally and maybe help prepare constructions before Euro 2012?
Thank you. Let's just take some brief comments on those questions. Dipolo, a couple of questions to you. I mean, first of all, South Africa more open as a result of the World Cup.
My point is that South Africa has been a tourist destination of choice anyway. Cape Town has always been called one of the coolest cities in the world anyway. And I slightly take umbrage with the suggestion that I may have been sort of spiced up my data as well, because I think that all of the information is triangulated and by credible sources. But I think that we cannot take one or two experiences and turn them into normative. Okay. Exceptions do not create rules.
Manny, one question: is it bad to make profits out of sports?
Yes. If you're going to invest in a business, then you need to make profits. But are we talking about sports or are we talking about business? My objection is only that if we have mega sports events, why not spread them to the more deprived parts of our countries? We don't do that. We tend to do it in capitals. London, Kyiv, Beijing, New Delhi. It's not the villages of India that benefit.
It's complete rubbish. It's complete rubbish. The London Olympics that are being constructed in 2012 next year are drawing on businesses creating jobs, goods, services, commodities, steel, all over the United Kingdom. Do you really think that we could simply deliver the Games in London, only using Londoners, only depending on London suppliers and London businesses? Of course we can't.
I'm not
I've never heard of anything to comment on London.
Well, I am in a position
to comment. I do know that in India,
all this investment of $18 billion was made in the richest part of the richest capital.
Well, he knows India, you know London.
Well,
Let's do it the London way then.
Very
quickly. Markian, there was a question about is this the best way for sustainable development, somebody said.
I think yes. Briefly. I think Euro is the best catalyst for everything, in terms of construction and infrastructure. I'd like to give only a short remark to Andrei. He told that government is spending a lot of money, but this is not for the tournament. This is for our development. I think you like to. You travel a lot. You are using different airports. I think you didn't like the airport in Kyiv or in Lviv.
Basic comments. Now, no more time for questions. Very quickly, just short comments. 25 seconds.
I'm participating in 3 Olympic Games, 2 World Championship, and 3 European Championship in basketball. And I see Barcelona before Olympic Games and after. It's huge different. I see Atlanta before Olympic Games and after. It's huge different. And other cities is other country.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, I know many doubts, I know many risks. People are right in many things. Okay. But I don't think anybody will regret after our event in Kyiv, after Euro 2012.
Were you in the Olympics yourself, in the basketball team?
Yes, Olympic champion.
Oh, yes. Well done. Okay. Put the microphone. Who's got the microphone? Yes, briefly.
I suppose that the answer to the main question is predetermined by the level of development of the countries, of the host countries. I think that Poland will get much more benefit from this as Ukraine. It's the syndrome of the richer getting richer and the poorer getting poorer. If economy is corrupted, it will get more corrupted.
Thank you. Who's got the microphone? Yeah.
So my idea is that Ukraine needs something big that will unite all country, all people. And I think that this event can really make our people be proud of themselves and be proud of a country. And this is one aim that we can reach all together.
All right. Now, audience, thank you very much. You've listened to the arguments. You've asked some questions. Can you vote again, please? And while you're doing that, our panel are going to make their closing arguments, and this time in reverse order. So, against the motion from South Africa, Dipolo Peko, incorporate some of the points you heard in your final arguments. Stay where you're sitting.
Basically, we need to weigh up the costs against the benefits, that it's also very important to think about the social developmental platform, which acts as a catalyst for other forms of development and other ways of revitalizing the economy, not only using sporting events as just that event, but as part of a continuum. One has to look at unemployment and other issues and wonder whether local producers and local businesses are going to be able to benefit in any way from these events, which we have not really seen in South Africa. What we've seen is small business, also to respond to the young lady who asked me the question about whether investors can support these games. They should, but we need to follow the dollar and make sure that the dollar stays in the house, that it doesn't go out the door, and that it actually comes back into the coffers of the nation. That is the important part. Dollars and pounds and euros, which are kind of flying out the window and not embedded in the local economy, are not really that useful to the local context.
Okay, thank you. And for the motion, Markian Lubkivski, your closing argument.
Thank you very much. So first of all, South Africa is not our case. India is not our case. So regarding the stadia, so now we put in place operational teams. So we will operate stadia. We have already two ready stadia in Donetsk and in Kharkiv, and now we are working on construction of two more. So that's why it's not an issue for us. I want to invite everybody to come to Ukraine and to feel Euro 2012. Regarding the working place, I'm very glad to inform that we will involve a lot of people who will work for Euro 2012, and now they are working on construction site. I mean, first of all, stewards for the stadia, volunteers who will help us a lot. So that's why I'm absolutely confident that it will be a very nice event, very successful, and this is really one life chance. Thank you very much.
Okay. Closing argument for against the motion, Mani Shankar from India.
I think it's far more important to make India a sporting nation than to make it a nation which is renowned for hosting sports events. 95% of our children have no formal access to organized sports. And yet one finds that the amount of money that is available for projecting a completely false image of a prosperous India is much larger than is available to making it a sporting nation by providing facilities to poor students all around the country. I don't think we should allow the oligarchs of the sports business to take over a game which should be played in every village and in every courtyard.
All right. Mani Shankar, thank you. Lord Manderson for the motion.
Well, the prejudice against the motion is that, you know, we should be against big business, we should be against capitalism, we should be against trade, we should be against oligarchs. Look, I've never said that hosting a major sporting event like this is an economic panacea, that you don't have to do anything else in a country or for its economy. All you have to do is to host a sporting event like this and it will be transformed. That's ridiculous. But what it will do is give a big, lasting shot in the economic arm of this country, and this at Ukraine stage of development is what it needs. And last of all, the argument has been made that Ukraine should simply pull out of the games. It should cancel its hosting of Euro 2012. That would be like Ukraine saying to the rest of Europe and to the rest of the world, we're going to turn our back on you. You know, we didn't want you to come here in the first place. We're not good enough to host a games like this. You know, we're closed both for sport and for business. Is that really the sort of message that you want Ukraine to give to the rest of Europe and to the rest of the world? I think it would be the last sort of message that Ukraine would want to give, and that's why I think it's important to vote in favour of this motion.
Thank you, Lord Manderson. All right. Okay. audience, I'm going to tell you, remind you again how you voted at the beginning of this debate, before you heard any of the arguments, for the motion, the hosting of major sports events is good for a nation's health. For that motion, supporting it was 66%. Against was 20%, and the don't knows was 14%. You listen to the arguments of our four panellists, and this is how you have now voted. For the motion, 41%. Against the motion, 52%. The don't know, 7%. Congratulations to the winners. You turned it around. That was a very dramatic result. Commiseration to the losers.
They didn't hear my summing up.
That was quite extraordinary. So there you are, completely turned. You brought them over. Amazing, amazing. I've never known such a result. Okay, well, thank you to all our speakers. Thank you to you, our audience here in the Ivan Franko Theatre Hall in the Ukrainian capital, Kiev. To you at home or wherever you are watching, and a special thank you to the Foundation for Effective Governance for making this debate possible. It's a non-profit, non-political organisation that tries to promote public policy here in the Ukraine. From me, Zainab Badawi, goodbye from Kiev.
And many thanks once again to the BBC World News Service for that exclusive rebroadcast. На жаль, вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Як багатство і багаче ти не любив і не любиш, то ніколи ним не будеш. And our proverb of the week translates as, if you hate rich people, you will never become rich yourself. Well, that just about wraps up our show for another week. So to take us to the end of our program, the Playboy Band from Edmonton and the Kozachuk. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie. On behalf of all of us here at Nosh Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobaczenia.